Okay, we're all here.
All accounted for.
The gang's all here.
Okay, today is 9/10/2019, 5 p.m., give or take. The Bay State Road Back Bay West Area Architects and Conservation District Commission will hold a hearing. Now, with permission from the members here, and I asked Mr. Cornish, I'm going to take 20.159 Bay State Road, which would be 47, and 20.160 Bay State Road, 166 Bay State Road. They, to me, are almost the same thing, so I'm going to incorporate it together.
Fine.
Okay. Now, whoever is, are you in charge now?
Yeah.
Representative. Could you just give us a little bit of a...
Let us know who you are, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Dave Pugajian, I'm a project manager with NBNC. We represent Xnet Systems here on this application. So the proposal here today is to replace both of the existing streetlights, you know, each location, 47, 166, as you mentioned.
Excuse me. Same spots?
Well, I'm just talking about them in the same...
No, I mean, if they're going to be replaced.
Oh, yeah.
Put it in exactly the same location.
Yeah, the old one will be taken out. The new one will go right where it was.
But fine. Go ahead. Continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just thought...
No worries. So, yeah, that's just the two addresses. They're both concrete light poles, as we looked at. Here's a picture of the existing conditions at 47. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for instance, that sign that's on the pole will get transferred to the new one, if you're curious. So the scope of work itself, again, to replace the pole, there's an antenna that goes to the top, and then the related equipment that supports the antenna is going to be inside the base cabinet at the base. This
inside, okay.
Sure. So...
And it's going to look like the others that have been
changed
over to this
kind
of system.
Yeah, this is consistent with what's been proposed. I mean, we did initially propose what they call side-mounted equipment cabinet, which is, you know, it's on the pole itself.
Yeah.
You know, there's reasons to do that, but, you know, we've since altered that design, you know, to conform here. So
it's consistent
with all the others. Yeah.
So, you know, each pole, you know, that's a set of plans for the first address, 47. You know, they're essentially the same except for, you know, the addresses, basically.
Do you want to comment? You know, I did ask if you looked at some alternative
sites. Yeah, we did look at two alternates. One alternate for each. So for 47, it was like back down an alley. I have the address you gave me. Basically, the end user here is T-Mobile. They're the carrier that would use the system. So their radio frequency engineer did a computer modeling for those alternates. You know, for lack of a better phrase, they didn't work for coverage. You know, basically, it doesn't connect to the macro site, which is at the Buckminster Hotel. And it also doesn't provide the line of sight on Bay State. You know, when you tuck it in the back.
Yeah, we're looking at a site on Raleigh Street near Back Street.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
it wasn't going to work for this.
Yeah, so it turns out the one in the back on the corner of Raleigh and Back Street, that was actually reserved by Verizon already.
Okay.
So that was not available. And then looking at the alternate for
166,
that one was, let's see, Back Street and Silver?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so that, it's... You know, the best way I can explain it is being tucked back in the alley there, it just doesn't see Bay State Road, like there's all these buildings blocking. And it doesn't have the line of sight that it needs to connect, so...
So it's not going to function.
Yeah, it's not going to function the way, you know, this one would, unfortunately, you know, for the design aspect. Basically the purpose of these sites, by and large, is for capacity, so... Basically, they help the larger sites, like what we call macro sites, that, you know, cover the broader areas. It offloads the traffic to those that those sites can't handle.
When you're walking, you don't get dropped.
Basically. Yeah. You know, like there's too many users for that particular installation.
Location. Yeah.
It picks up the data traffic or the phone traffic, whatever they happen to be using. So, there's basically two types of coverages. New coverage where there's like no coverage at all and it provides coverage, or there's like the, in this case, capacity where there's just too many users on that installation itself, and these help to offload it and, you know, provide better coverage, you know, to the buildings and, you know, any pedestrian traffic or even street traffic for those areas. So, yeah, it's line of sight, and, you know, you can see how, you know, relatively close the two different sites are. I mean, they only travel so far with the signals.
Let me ask you one question.
Sure.
The height won't be hideous. The height is a normal sort of, or you would stand out as being strange. The height.
So the existing pole, if we go to page 3 of the plans, it's the elevation page.
Oh, yeah, it's not showing up that great there.
Yeah, it's hard to see on that. But so the top of the existing pole is 24 feet.
Yes.
And then you, this,
yeah, here's the light.
Oh,
yeah, so here's 24, and then this light kind of curves up and it ends there. This is also 24, and then you have the antenna, you know, in that canister. So it's relatively the same height.
As and the light sustained. Would shine in the same place because it's the same height. So whatever those light, it would still be light. Yeah.
We have gone through this, and our chief there has actually done some work. So. He has given us some information, what he thinks. We now have decided what or how. So I speak for myself. I would approve it. My name is Vic Thimo. This guy is Spain name. What's your name?
I'm Dave.
I'm Dave. I'm Rule.
Oh, Rule. Nice to meet you.
And I'm Pam Neal, and I approve it as well. Yeah. So
Henry Ward was grandson.
So is there any question that you would like to ask of him?
No, because we've been through this before.
Right,
I see everything is exactly the same.
Right, that's
done
the most
before.
Important thing, the
and
consistency.
And you've endorsed this as well.
So all in favor of accepting the project?
Yes.
Aye. Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Well said.
Thanks for having me.
Didn't have it that easy, did you?
Well, Joe prepares us very well.
Yeah, so. Perfect. So those are yours to keep if you want.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, we follow through what you have to do.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Do you want me to go tell the bees that? Or you?
Yeah, okay.
They'll be coming.
Nice to meet you all. Thanks.
Great.
Good luck.
Nice to meet you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
How do you pronounce that word, the Sheraton? I call it the Sheraton.
Keelishon.
He's also, the family, I guess, is also the one.
That did Silsy too.
Do you want the,
yeah.
We got an extra
6:10. Thank you.
This is just a copy of what's up on the screen, but
awesome, thank you.
Make sure you
we can follow along.
Sorry. Okay, thank you. How you doing?
How are you?
Show one for you.
And then these were things that were dropped off today.
Yes.
Sorry that.
Yeah, 6:10. Some is also
the socks are out of contention.
Oh, that's.
Rare.
I'm going to have to.
On the other side.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. I'll just let you know.
Want me to do it, Joe?
I hope you want.
Yeah,
it.
Thank you, Kevin.
You want this?
No.
That was the rare place to.
Yeah,
that
was blown up.
It's on the
show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Okay, I know who
you
are.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Richard Lazar.
Right.
Remember Richard?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Richard T. That's right. We have the pickup on campus.
You guys all set? We're all set to go?
We're all set to go.
Yes, sir.
Okay, date 9/10/2019. Place, Boston City Hall. We are looking at design review hearing. We did the Bay State Road street lighting, and now we have 91 Bay State Road, Boston University, Keelishon, I believe. Is that the right way to pronounce it?
Keelishon.
Okay, Hall. Applicant John Bonner proposed work. Let's introduce ourselves.
Rule Longfellow.
Vic Thimo.
Bambio.
You guys introduce yourself.
Paul Rinaldi.
Please.
I oversee campus planning at Boston University.
I'm Ken Ryan with BU Government and Community Affairs.
I'm Rebecca Berry, President of Feingold Alexander Architects.
Okay.
Judy Conway,
who wants to talk about
it? I'm sorry.
You can come sit with us if you'd like. You can sit here.
Let me introduce it. Then I'll turn it over to somebody who knows the great details. So, thank you for your time tonight. It was back in July that we gave an advisory presentation to the commission. This is what we're planning, this is how we're thinking of it, and frankly, it was warmly received by everyone. Since that time, there's been a few changes. over the course of the summer, did a lot of investigative work on the facade, and sadly, we found that there is a lot more replacement work on the front, the south facade, particularly around the lintels. But Rebecca will go into that in detail. And the other change is, because there's going to be so much work in the front, we're going to be messing up the landscaping that's there. So there's a small change that we have in our packet to show you what we're planning for the landscaping. There's been a lot of work that's been done on this, a lot of investigative work, so we're really solid on this. And we're thinking that October, early November, we'll be putting this out on the street for bidding, so that we can start, early in the early in 2020. Rebecca, you go into the details.
Absolutely. So, as you may recall from the last time we were here, this project really has sort of four elements to it in one project. So we have life safety upgrades, we have sustainability and resiliency, we have accessibility, of course, which is a huge driver. And then we have this facade work that we're really looking at, masonry repairs, replacement, etc. So I'll just run through, next slide, sorry.
No problem.
Let's run through the elements of each of these pieces. So in terms of life safety, there are sort of two, one major thing, which is that we're taking the fire escapes off the building. We'll show you how that works. Currently the ninth floor is served by those for secondary means of egress. And we are replacing those with a new interior pressurized stair core that meets all of the modern life safety codes for this being a high rise and also meets current accessibility standards. So
in,
kind of
interior, is it?
Interior, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yep, just completely within the envelope.
Yes, okay,
yes, exactly. And as far as accessibility, in addition to that interior stair, we are inserting two new elevators, again, interior to the building, okay, that will help to service the ninth floor in particular because we have a lot of seats up there. It is a sort of quasi-assembly space in that it's a study and social space for the students, really all along Bay State Road, not just those in Kalashant Hall. And so that allows for accessibility and for proper access to and from that floor. Currently, that floor is only served by one elevator, so we'll show you how that works. Additionally, as part of this work, because we are coming down through the entire building with this new core, that provides us with the opportunity to renovate the areas around that core and create proper accessible sleeping rooms and bathrooms for the first time. BU has did some small modifications over the years to try to make things better, but was never able really to go, to as far as the letter of the code just because of the nature of the beast, right? So now we're able to do that. And we create an entirely accessible ninth floor, and we are also doing some small upgrades to the remaining east stair to assist with that. So, next slide, please. Thanks. In terms of sustainability and resilience, the envelope at the ninth floor, one hesitates sometimes to call it an envelope. It's a 1940s, 1950s construction. It's really done, right? Its time has passed, and so we are creating an all-new energy-efficient envelope for that existing construction. And then we are also, of course, doing groundwater recharge. We'll show you where that's located on the site. And at the west side of the building, this is an interesting building in that it actually has space to its east and its west. It's not a row building like most of the rest of Bay State Road is. There's a sort of a gap, 16-foot gap between Kalashant Hall and the neighboring building.
MIT building.
Exactly, the MIT fraternity building. And back in there, which you cannot see, there is an emergency generator. And that generator is going to be lifted off the ground a bit so that in the event of flooding or anything in the future, it would be able to operate the life safety systems.
So that would be basically that open space between 97 and...
I think that's the number, yeah.
Yeah.
And 91. Yeah, exactly. And there's a sort of a fence in front of it now, like a board fence.
Yes, right.
So it's back there.
Yeah. Because inside there's something there already.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's actually several things there already.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that it will go back exactly where it is, just a little bit higher.
Okay. Yeah.
And then in terms of exterior work, and this is where, to Paul's point, we did a bunch of investigation this summer. If you were on the road, you may have seen lifts driving around the building. Again, SGH was out there pretty extensively. And so what we're doing is we're still doing the same rebuild from the eighth floor up that we were before, still doing the corners. That was all in scope. And then we are doing additional lintel work. Is what will have to be done, right? It's the thing that always goes, right?
Right.
Over the windows, And so I can talk a little bit about that when we pull up the elevations and just talk about what we're looking at doing right now. But it won't change the appearance of the building, right? It's just an added scope. And then, of course, the configuration at the existing ninth floor remains largely unchanged. There's a couple small additions, and we'll show you that. So next. Okay, so we're going to start with the ninth floor and talk about the accessibility and life safety next. So the existing floor plan has, I would say, three big issues. One is that there are multiple levels, so it's not accessible from that standpoint. Two is that it's got this scary situation of people having to go out fire escapes. Right. And three is that the toilet rooms are inaccessible. So if we go to the next slide, this gives you a sense of some of those existing conditions, right? We have existing stages. We have the stairs to the Hobbit door to get out onto the fire escape. Nobody wants to do that. That's not a good thing. We have random ramps. So what is sort of the additional interesting wrinkle to this is when you then look at this floor and you think about reconfiguring it and trying to put in modern mechanical systems, accessible toilet rooms, making the whole floor plate flat, and how you do that, we ended up needing a little bit more space to accommodate what I'll call these supporting elements of the program, right? So when we looked at doing that, one of the interesting things we always do is we kind of dive back through the historical record. This building used to stop with eight floors and have a open air kind of pergola dance area at the top. Mm-hmm. So the two stairs went all the way up, one of the elevators went up, and then there was this sort of pergola in between, which if you go to the next slide, you can see in this rendering.
I love this picture with the river right up
yeah.
in the back.
I know. Right. And by the way, before they built Storm
Drive. Right,
Storm
Drive. I mean, imagine that you would walk right out and there you were. Yeah.
Yes. It's a little different than today.
Yeah, right. Beautiful.
Yeah, right up there. So this is, you can see, that was the existing, when the building was built, right, mm-hmm. in 27,
yeah.
that was what was there. And then if you go to the next slide, what eventually happened is they filled this in. And this, of course, looks pretty much like what you see today on the Storrow Drive side of the building, right? They built these kind of pavilions out. And then also on the middle, where we showed that sort of slice that came across, right,
mm-hmm.
they took roofs on either side of it to front, back to north and south and sloped it. And then came out fully to the edge of the middle of the H of our H building, right? So if we go to the next slide, so that's with the wings. So when we first started to look at this,
well, it's funny, you don't think of it as an H, you think of it as a U. Do you know what I mean? Because you don't think that the back juts out
right.
from the middle,
yeah.
too. Do you know what I mean? You never see it all at the same
but,
time.
But it is indeed
yeah. an H.
It's an H, yes,
yeah.
exactly. So again, this was the, where these columns are here, tells you nicely, here was the original piece, okay? And then we had to look at where to get a stair and an elevator, right? And how, and you know, what was the capacity of the elevators that we needed? You, of course, do vertical transportation studies, etc. Way back when, we looked at different configurations. One of the first ones we looked at was one elevator, one stair, with the stair placed this way. If you go to the next slide, we also looked at this. What happens if we put the stair outside the building? Nobody liked that for a
yeah.
whole, you know, host of reasons, right? And so then in the end, where we ended up was a configuration with a stair oriented east-west and then two elevators, and we needed these two elevators to service this floor and to provide for proper access for all the residents of the building, which there's about like 416 or something like that on that order. So it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Before you go to another slide, I just want to interject that what you're seeing here in a couple of other slides is the furniture plan. It's used today. It's used for the last, I don't know, 40 or 50 years has always been lounge space.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that use of lounge space will continue to be used.
Yes.
There's no change out there.
Exactly, yeah.
And
the and only
study
space.
Yeah.
Space,
yeah.
lounge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's designed to be very flexible so that it can be used for students for either purpose, really. And again, you know, for students at the Killeshawn Honors College, but also for students up and down Bay State Road,
mm-hmm.
right? And then what you also see is that we get that stair and elevator core, and we get this new set of accessible toilet rooms, right? Again, to serve the space on either side. And so these two little pieces right here are where we made an addition to the existing footprint of that ninth floor, about 1,000 square feet. As small as we could get it just to get these, you know, life safety and accessibility program elements onto this floor. So if we go forward. The other thing to talk about is, you know, how that stair and elevator ended up there. There's a couple reasons. One is that we have this big boiler room down in the basement and it wasn't going anywhere, right? All the existing mechanical infrastructure for floors 2 to 8 remains, right? We're not touching that. And so obviously we couldn't sort of violate this space, if you will, which is in the stair, came out to the first floor. And then we also had this location of the new elevators. So pushing this thing, you know, further like back into the building caused issues with circulation. We had to thread our way down between existing columns, etc. And so this location here ended up being the best place. It does actually mean, you know, full demolition of an existing emergency electrical room, but we needed to upgrade
anyway.
Anyway, exactly. So all those things being equal. And then the other aspect, if you go forward again, in terms of how we then dealt with that at the roof, was we didn't want to make the building any taller. So we took the tallest point, which was this area in here, other than, of course, the two existing headhouses, right? And we carried that elevation all the way across. So in other words, that flat part in the middle, that's the height of those new additions, right? So we didn't go any higher than we already were. And we actually even matched, we made sure that we could match the elevator overrun to these existing overruns, so that again, they didn't get any taller. So if we go forward again, and this is just, at one point there was a question that was kind of raised about, you know, what about the structure of this, and why is it flat, why isn't it sloped, when we went to talk to various people, and this is really why it's not sloped, partly because you can't get anything in this type of a section, right? It's very low at the edges. It's only 7'3" here at the ends of those slopes. And also, the original top of the building was actually flat. Those pieces that were sloped, those are adds, right? That's not original to the building. So we keep going.
So these are the two wings.
Yes, those are two wings. Exactly, the section through those two wings. So that's the top in terms of planning, okay? Then we have accessibility upgrades that occur at the intermediate floor. So if we go through accessible bedrooms and bathrooms, this is the existing floor plan. So you can see you have, you know, bedrooms with shared with shared bathrooms. And our area of impact is over here. This is the west wing of the building. This is Bay State, right? So if we go forward, again, here's our core, right, that we're pulling down to the building. And as you can see, we're doing accessible work to either side. And then there is one, at an upper floor, there is one accessible room created over here on the west side. Because the other thing that's happening, and that you don't see in this plan, is there are these 22-inch wide access ways out to those, let's go back one, out to those fire escapes.
Fire escapes, yeah.
That's scary, right? Because that's safe, right? In today's modern world,
it's
yes.
Just, it's can't get a hockey player to walk down Broad.
Right?
Sideways.
Yeah, you can close your eyes and that wouldn't be safe.
So what happens is, if you go forward again, what we were able to do is we were able to capture those spaces. And so one of the things that helped us do was keep the bed count as high as we could, even though, of course, whenever you do accessible bedrooms and bathrooms, you lose beds, right? Because you need more space. So that was a sort of a, you know, it was a virtuous effect of taking those fire escapes off as we moved down through the building. So that's what we do each floor. Yep. And then at the first floor, there's basically no change to this floor. As you all know, it was done in 2011, so if you flip forward, you know, all that happens is the insertion of the two elevators and then the stair that comes down. There's a very nice thing that happens for life safety, though, which is that at the moment, both of the stairs, you really come down and kind of come through the lobby, or one of them you have to sort of go down to the basement, which, trust me, you don't want to do. It's very, very low down there. And so what we were able to do with the insertion of the stair is have one stair come to a grade lobby and one stair straight out to the alley and then out this way, which brings it up to fully code compliance with today's modern code as far as people getting out of this.
And the first floor has all been redone now, so this is just adding nice exits through that space.
Adding nice exits. We're doing a little bit of furniture
safety.
Work.
Right.
That's it. Right, yeah. Exactly. Yes. So, moving on. The civil work. So, This is really hard to read, isn't it? It's pixelated, but that's okay. Imagine the front of the building, right? There's that U, if you will. So right smack in the middle of that, underneath there, is where we're going to put our Coltech chambers, right? I'm sure everyone's familiar with the groundwater recharge requirements, right? And to Paul's point, what we realized is that we had kind of all this staging and everything also that has to happen to do the exterior masonry work. And it made the most sense to put these chambers just smack in the middle of the plan. We did all this investigation this summer. You might have seen them out there digging. They were finding the inverts of the storm.
Stormwater, right.
Exactly, so that we knew where we could tie in. And so that the net result of that was placing these chambers here in Back Street up against the building. We do also have a line of sort of perforated pipe. We did something very similar to this down at the castle, actually, behind there outside the pub addition. And the reason we have to do it at both locations is because part of the drill of the building drains to the back and part of the building drains to the front,
right.
And they cannot meet due to elevational differences, right? So the impact is really very small. But the other interesting thing is this presented us with an opportunity because we were digging in the middle. So if you go forward, you can actually probably see this better in your packets. So what
we're
happens
on,
is...
I think I don't think they're page numbered, but we're,
oh, sorry.
We're near the middle here.
Near the middle, yeah.
Where it says introduction, right?
Yeah. You're there.
So what happens, of course, with placing this in the middle is currently there's this one sort of main like brick walk and then these kind of two wings that go out to the sides. So it's basically all going to get beat, right, as a result of this project, as a result of excavating for those chambers, and also just as a result of staging a building. So the proposal is to take that brick walk, replace it with probably a nice like scored concrete walk, which also has the advantage of becoming really accessible. I mean, the building's at grade, but brick is not the best in terms of the accessibility community. But it will have some kind of nice score pattern. We don't know exactly what yet. We're creating kind of two nicer seating areas and doing some, probably a few trees in that area in there just to kind of, you know, make what's there a little bit nicer.
Right.
This isn't, you know, a huge landscape project, right? It's just a simple thing of acknowledging that we're going to need to do some work because of the nature of the construction.
It still seems to be that it's one of those odd buildings in the district because it's a residential district,
mm-hmm.
but it's a hotel. It was
right.
a major
yeah.
hotel in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we talked to the landscape architect, our goal was to continue to have that residential feel
mm-hmm.
in a slightly larger scale building and not get carried away
right.
in plazas
yeah.
or green spaces and fancy
yeah.
landscaping.
Just a really nice walkway with
keep,
a few nice trees.
Keep,
yeah.
texture consistent
yeah.
the way it's meant.
Exactly, exactly. But just kind of have it actually even a little bit more usable.
Yeah,
right.
a little bit more seating, which is nice.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is there's seating now, but nobody ever uses
it.
It because
what I mean.
It's
yeah.
not, it's just not, well.
It's not welcoming.
Exactly. So the idea is to have a couple little welcoming seating spots where students might stop, you know, as they're as on their way in and out. So it's
yeah.
very simple.
I've seen quite a few students, not this year, but in the past,
mm-hmm.
actually using that seating.
Yes, you're
yeah.
using it?
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully they'll be more comfortable now.
that's the proposed seating right there on both sides, right?
Yeah,
yeah
those
exactly.
Three,
so
yeah,
it's
okay.
there's eight benches total here,
okay.
which is actually about equal to what there is there at the moment.
Okay.
But at the moment, they're sort of, they're not configured in kind of a congenial way.
Right.
Right? So this is designed to, you know, sort of make these little conversation loops. So let's keep going. So the exterior. We've talked through various of this before. We'll start with the masonry and the side repairs, and then we'll talk about the ninth floor, and we have material samples with us tonight. So, the masonry. Basically, what this shows you is that the building will look the same as it does now when we're done, except better. And so we'll flip to one more, and then I think we'll go on to the next slide, actually. Yeah, so we can talk in a little bit more detail. So, in terms of thinking about these facades, okay, as we mentioned, we did a lot more investigation. The plan was, again, all the corners and then from the window heads up. Now what we're looking at potentially having to do is from this cornice line up, which is fine, right? This is essentially the same scope in terms of like how the building will look, but it's a little bit more scope for the project. And then unfortunately, most of these lintels are not in very good condition. So what we're looking at the potential for, and this is again probably very similar to what you saw at Miles, right?
Mm-hmm.
You take the brick
sections
and the keystone out,
right?
Take the steel lintel out, replace it with a new lintel, get the stone back in, get the stone or the brick
yeah.
soldier coursing or the keystone. And the interesting thing with this building that complicates it a little bit just in terms of the architecture is that there are different kind of lintel conditions as you move your way around the building. So obviously everything will be put back in kind.
Right.
So in other words, what it looked like now, it'll look like again.
But it'll be secure.
Exactly, it'll be secure, we won't have to worry about rust checking, we'll do counter flashing, and all the, you know, all the good modern masonry practices that we now have will take place.
Are you touching the windows in the body of the building?
We are not touching the windows in the body of the building, no. Some of the windows as well, we may have to do some of the jams, so, you know, take down along the edge of the jamb of the window. That is much more selective. There were only a few of those that kind of got the recommendation of, like, we really need to.
And they'll be put back to match.
Correct.
Right, whether it's newer or old material reworked.
That's right. Yeah, I think we're probably going to end up with new brick here. When we have done the 2 summers worth of selective demolition and repair, we have had really good luck with matching the brick.
Good.
It's a blend, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, this summer, Consigli brought us like 4 straps, and we picked out the 4 bricks that make the blend. You probably can't tell where they opened and patched.
Right. Awesome.
Yes. Good. So, and we'll do all of our...
What an undertaking.
Yes. It will be a bit of an undertaking. You know, we'll do mortar samples, color samples, pointing samples, all the ordinary stuff that we would do for a facade restoration.
Okay.
Additionally, we have... a little bit more probably stone replacement than we had originally been looking at doing. So when we had to take down these corners and rebuild these cornices pieces, right? Some of this is limestone. So the plan was really to salvage all of the limestone. There's a few pieces that we think are probably beyond.
Yeah.
Right. And so we'll do replication. And obviously, again, we'll do color matching and all the ordinary, you know, approach that we would take. But there's just some that we're concerned with the amount of erosion or damage to the stone. It's, again, it's not a lot.
And the medallion?
The medallion will be being replaced, exactly. So there's
and it's covered now and it'll be uncovered forevermore.
Forevermore, exactly. Uncovered, restored, and put back. So, but then, so that's everything, you know, from here down.
That means the name still remains.
So it'll still say the Sheridan someplace, too.
Yes, it says it right in here.
Because
that's
above the door.
Yes.
But that would be cleaned or replaced.
The whole building will be cleaned. Yeah, we have a complete washdown.
The question I was going to ask you on that black strip that you put on, now I understand.
Yeah, so that's all the stonework and all the brick will obviously be cleaned as part of the work. And then there's sort of selective repointing of probably about 20% of the building, and you know, again, that'll all be done on site, you know, on an as needed basis. We'll review it as we go around the building. Right. So it's a fair amount of work.
Yeah. How long do you think it's gonna take staff to finish? Could be years, do you think?
The plan, like Miles, at least last time I've heard, is to have this building occupied.
Mm-hmm.
So there, you know, partial occupancy.
Partial occupancy, yeah.
So the plan, general terms, is to decide as soon as the students leave.
Yeah. Keep working away at it.
And hit it really, really hard.
Yep.
And allow for partial occupancy in the fall.
Correct.
Wonderful.
And
good.
I think it, if that's the schedule, if that's when we start, I think it's an 18-month job.
Wow. So the hope was a year. Now, the additional masonry work...
It could go to 18 months. That's amazing, though.
We'll see. But the trick to this, to Paul's point, though, is this is a partially occupied project, and so that first summer is critical.
Right, to get off to the right start.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And to get the right amount of work done and completed such that, you know,
people
folks
can move in.
Can safely come back.
It's completely empty in the summer.
Completely
so,
empty.
You took the words out of my mouth. Completely empty. Okay.
Yeah, and that includes like the, as you know, the Honors College has administrators, but like everybody
out.
Nobody in there whatsoever.
It was the first air conditioned dorm we had.
Really?
So you know, in the old days.
This was the summer one
that
they got used.
That was
right.
The summer one they got used.
Right.
And you know, with the better inventory that we have, you know, we're able to be a little bit more strategic in our use of this, so we can pull it off and do something right.
Nice.
So that kind of covers everything from, you know, 8 down. So we'll talk a little bit about what happens for the, you know, top of the 8th floor up, okay?
Yeah.
Right, in terms of the piece at the top of the building. So to be clear about what is going and what is staying at that floor, right? What is going is all of that, you know, glazing that you see, right? Gone. Any roofing materials
gone.
Interior gutted,
yeah.
But the structure is fully staying. right? So the shape of the roofs, the height again of what is there, all of that is sort of intact, okay?
Yep.
And everything is getting all new roofing. So, you know, lots of insulation, so the roof gets thicker, right?
Yep.
TPO roof on that with a rib that I'll show you that to make it look a bit like a standing seam roof. And then a whole new facade, if you will, right, in between the existing columns. There's kind of these little steel columns that kind of work their way around where those metal roofs, the sloped metal roofs, were placed. Okay?
Yeah.
And so we're working around that. We have to do a whole new backup wall for all our new masonry.
Wow.
Because that's how we get our seismic.
Right.
Right. Because, of course, we're kicking in seismic upgrades for this building
right.
as well. So most of that new wall, of course, gets reclad with the brick because it comes up to what was the parapet level and what is now effectively the windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that windowsill to where that existing slope roof meets it, we're putting in new glazing. Okay. All
yep.
the way around. Right. So the transparent wall is curtain wall, energy efficient, you know, double glazed, it's laminated for sound, because it can get very noisy up there.
I can imagine.
So in order to help the students to study, we're looking at laminated glazing. Okay?
Wow.
It's a clear glass. And it's the concept that we are proposing is to be really clear about the fact that this was not original to the building. Right.
Right.
So at the moment, one of the architectural issues we feel is that the lines of the existing glass really kind of hit you across the face, right? Smack, smack, smack. I mean, everyone who ever looks at the building, they say, boy, it's like a, you know, it's like a Florida porch.
Right.
And it's true, right?
Right?
It kind of gives that impression of these jalousy windows, right? And so what we want to do is kind of take a step back and really try to make this very clean and open and transparent.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the intent of the glazing. In this middle portion here of the H, again, so, you know, you've got your U, if you
yep.
will,
yep.
same base
yep.
state. And then along the middle there, we do here have a little bit heavier of a Muntin pattern to give a little bit more detail
to
okay,
it. Yeah.
to it, exactly. And also what this does is this lets us deal with the internal program, which is study rooms, and they need these kind of thick walls in between for sound again.
Yeah.
So this gives us that little extra detail, and it fulfills an interior program.
Yeah.
And these are simply basically lined up with these center lines below the windows here. We have SSG that again lines up kind of with the middle of the Muntins, okay? So very just simple, clean, kind of talks to the building.
Right.
Then when we go around to the other sides, it's very similar, right, as we come around. Now.
So existing is on your left.
So actually, this is just color.
Okay, oh, color and black and white. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Good.
So to what happens then as you come around onto the front, so at those front wings, right,
mm-hmm.
we have our tiny little bit of roof real estate.
Yep.
And we got to put mechanical equipment there.
Right, and that's what you had said.
Right, the
right.
screening of that. And the reason
the last time,
is because
right.
our existing structure can't really support the weight of it. We've
right.
got all of our penetrations for our bathroom exhausts that we're doing all on the rest of the building all
right.
come up through,
come
the,
up
roof
through the roof
to avoid penetrating on the sides of the building.
Right.
So, obviously, we want to screen that mechanical equipment so that we don't see it. Because really, you know, who wants to look at VRF units and energy recovery units and chillers and all the things that we need for the building, right?
Right.
So what we're proposing actually is this interesting product. This is a expanded metal. It's very heavy in terms of its durability, right? It's coated. And it has this interesting aspect to it that we really like. And this is one thing we would like to determine kind of in a mock-up, right? So the interesting thing about this is that depending on which way you turn it, it can be very solid.
Oh, interesting.
Open.
Yeah.
Right?
So which way did you decide to go, or you're not sure?
We're not sure. We'd like to do a mock-up.
Yeah.
And take a look, because we might find that it looks lighter
right.
if it's put this way, and it still blocks enough of the view
right.
right, of our mechanical
component. And would it be efficient either way? I mean,
it works either way. It would do the job.
Way.
Exactly.
So it's
the correct
aesthetics.
Openness,
right?
right? It's just purely aesthetics and how we want this thing to look.
Yeah.
I will also note that we spent a lot of time trying to determine how high, how low, where could we, you know, did we have
place
to screen
it.
Everything, where would we place it? And there is a lot of things that, like, institutions like Boston University really like is to have equipment elevated because of snow, right? And it's a pain to go out there and try and clear. We really threaded the needle here. We pushed these pieces of equipment as low as we could reasonably to still have some service. So instead of being 3 foot off, which is sort of the ideal, they're only 18 inches off that deck, okay? And that was done, again, to try to keep this height as low as we could on the screen. And what you'll see is that that height matches where the roof comes down next to it, okay?
Yeah.
So we were trying not to go any higher than that, right, in terms of where the height of the screen sits. So if we go to the next slide, as we come around the building, so this is the east facade, which of course nobody ever sees, but this is what happens, right? So as you come around to the east side or the west side, they look, their mirror image the same, exactly. When you come around to the parts where we actually have programs, so for instance, these are the restrooms, okay, we're looking at cladding the solid portions of this in a flat seam zinc. And we selected this product for several reasons. One is that it's actually a natural product, so it will patina a little bit, right? I'm sure we're all sick and tired of looking at metal painted panel, right? Looks the same everywhere.
Right.
So this is also a nice reference to the zinc-coated copper, so all of the gutters and the downspouts and all of that will be a zinc-coated copper.
It's a soft color.
It's a soft color, exactly. And you can see it has kind of a bit of, you know, texture to it, right?
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't have that, you know, super finished look, right?
Yeah.
That a lot of products have.
I like that.
And it will hopefully kind of just go away and
isn't
make this
pretty?
Look like a top.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that's why we selected that. And we haven't, you know, we want to look at a mock-up in terms of the window mullions, but the idea is to have the window mullions be, again, a soft gray, so that all of this is really meant to be kind of very simple and uniform, and again,
sort of
the
fade
grayness.
Into the background.
Exactly, exactly. Not mimic the brick,
right.
Not compete with the brick.
Not jump out at you.
No,
just
this is a top, it's a roof, right? And then the roof, it's the roofing material itself on the slopes, which I'll show some picture, some renderings of in a minute, is a gray TPO, but we are proposing to use this product, which is interesting. This is a rib, and it's meant to look like a standing seam, right? So it'll give a little bit of, you know, kind of texture to the
an
roof.
An old-worldly kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Design.
You can't, again, you know, you can't see this from Bay State Road,
right?
But it was just the idea of doing something that is a little bit nicer, and also the people who are in the space actually see the roofs.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
When you look across from one side of the H to
the
other. The
other
so
side, right.
Exactly. So we wanted it to look like
pleasing.
Somebody had actually thought
right.
about it.
Right.
Exactly.
And
again,
gray
is
a very calming color, so that would be a nice calming effect.
Very simple. Exactly.
It'll be nice shadow
anyway,
lines.
Gray is a calming color.
Yes, you get shadow
you know
lines,
that?
Exactly.
That's why I drive
yeah.
a great car.
So everybody around you is calm.
Yeah.
Good job.
As you sit by
there. That's right.
And this is the specified glass, which again is just a very, very simple glass, you know, nothing fancy. Now, interestingly enough, so this glass will be on the north side.
And that's
the
soundproof, the way it looks and all that,
yeah,
with all
the
soundproofing and
everything. This is
yep.
it, the whole thing. And then on the east and west sides, we're doing this. So
with the texture in it. Yeah, you can
little
see
bit
the little
of texture,
design,
right?
Yeah.
Yep. Now, of course, this is going to be so far away from anybody that mostly they'll never see it. But what this does, that's actually a dot.
Yeah.
And that kills our glare.
Yeah, I was going to say it deflects the sun. Yeah.
Exactly. So that the people who are inside on their laptops
shouldn't
have to use the shades very much and not staring at the sun.
Yeah.
Right. But it's so subtle, you know, particularly
it.
From
actually, like
nine
it.
Stories
yeah.
down. Yeah, so it's a little something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that'll help with that too. So really we have a very
thick that glass is though, isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. This is how you get the sound and the energy performance,
right?
Right.
Right.
So we have this very limited palette. Not a lot of materials,
right.
right? Very simple. And of course, the lovely existing building once we get done
right.
putting it all back together and cleaning it up. So if we move on to the renderings, I can give you, let's just keep paging through, I think. It's probably better to go straight to those. So, existing conditions from Store Drive.
Right.
Everybody has probably seen this a few times, whizzing by, so we'll go to the next one. So then the proposed view, you can see the changes, right? So there's no fire escapes.
Yep.
We have our new areas of the zinc cladding here. And again, you can see this very kind of minimal window treatment.
Yeah,
right?
No, it really changes the whole dynamic. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, so
I really like
the idea is to lighten it, right? Just have it not
Don't you guys, I mean, take a look, I mean, before you, all you saw was the metal.
Right.
Now, it just sort of fades away. It looks like part of the sky.
That's the idea, exactly. It's just kind of make it be soft and subtle.
Right.
And it just sort of disappears.
Can you get rid of the gutters? I'm just kidding.
No, I really like the change.
Actually, they should blend in a lot better now into the roof, right? Because if everything is this zinc coated copper and it's gray, it's
just
kind of blends. Yeah, exactly. So again, just to kind of sum it up, right? The roof lines remain. We have this energy efficient curtain wall and cladding, kind of minimal design treatment, and the fire escapes gonzo.
Yep.
So then moving along to the other side, this tells you where these views are taken from, okay? So we have view one, which is across the street,
yeah,
a little bit east of the barely east of the building, and then view two, which is from 100 Bay State Road, right? So if we flip to, so this is, everybody probably knows, this is what the building looks like right now, right?
Right.
So mostly what you see is, again, the kind of, you know, funky, you know,
yeah, not sort pretty.
Of
right.
Window treatment up here, the netting gone, so the next slide shows the proposed. So again, this is where we really try to minimize the
fades
impact.
Away. Right.
And the mechanical, you can kind of see, hits at that same height there, and then this is a sort of a piece of the new addition. But again, it's all very simple. And I should say the flat seam zinc we have at the moment detailed is just simple horizontal lines, right? They kind of run across the building. It's not a
very
shingle pattern.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it's just meant to be minimal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then the U2. So this is view two. So this is, again, from 100 Bay State Road existing, right? And then if we go to the proposed, now this is where, yes, we have to have our elevator head house, right? As we said, that's kind of where the elevators had to go within this floor plan. So it does pop, admittedly, up, you know, above the building. But again, it's at the same height as the ones that are back here
back
and
here.
Up here.
Right.
And this height here that you see, this is actually an existing piece of structure. We're just recladding it. Is the same height as this one here.
Right.
Again, so it's all uniform.
With the front part, wouldn't it be better, maybe I misunderstood it, that the top of the elevator be more towards Starwood Drive as opposed to Bay State Road?
Yeah, so the problem
you
is...
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, the problem is that's over the boiler room.
Ah.
And we have to have elevator pits.
Right.
So even though the elevator pits don't go all the way, even though the elevator does not go all the way to the basement, below the first floor, we have to come fully down about 6 feet for the elevator pit, and that's like in all of that existing infrastructure.
Okay, it's already there.
Yeah. So we really had to keep the stair toward the Starwood Drive side. Otherwise, believe me, we would have.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. Yes.
And the top part seems to be more of a square as opposed to now it sort of leans in.
Oh.
The glasses that you're talking, the study room.
So actually, no. This is the same here. Actually,
yeah.
So in the middle, yes.
Yeah,
so that roof line,
yeah,
it's the same roof line.
Same,
yes. So it slopes down.
This
you go,
to me looks a little bit straighter than.
I think
than
it's.
That.
I think it's the perspective. If you go
okay,
back to the
no
other
problem.
View, actually, you can see it a little bit
yeah.
better. Sorry. Yes, yeah, so go back. There. So what's happening is the slope is coming up from there, and you sort of can't see it because it's very low pitch.
Okay.
But it's that if you were to stand across the street and look up, you would see that same
pitch.
Kind
okay.
of pitch coming up. Yeah, we're not changing that roof line.
And one more comment. My fellow colleagues want to comment, but my comment is on the first floor where you're saying the grass and all that stuff. Okay, I would rather have the, maybe it is, I would rather have the seating in the back towards the building as opposed to the street front.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So in other words,
yeah.
what you have there now, grass, would be maybe differently, but it still would be not right. In other words,
slide,
if you
slide
it back a little
bit.
Slide
you know,
it back
it's just exactly
building.
Like what you have
that's
now,
fine.
But modified to whatever you think it is.
Sure. That's
that basically?
That's easy. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, we're basically just getting pricing on what we can reasonably
yeah.
do for landscape and,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of move from there. So,
good.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Easy. Okay.
And then before you guys come in, Joe, we were talking about the windows and how I thought that the comments in the staff recommendation, I didn't think any other study or anything was necessary.
Yeah.
We were all saying,
this
is a newer version of what I think.
The answer to that, yes, thank
good.
You.
Okay.
So that we didn't think that applied. So.
Okay.
So, Mr. Cornish, do you have any comments that you think?
No, I think the new renderings answered the comments that I had, and seeing the materials here.
It's helpful.
I'll tell you what you suggested in the paper. Do you have any suggestions to us?
No, I think it looks good.
So do you think it's a project that we should approve?
Absolutely.
Good. As is, as presented.
As is right now.
Yes. Yep.
And if there's any other problems, we throw it to you.
Yes. Yeah, and we can work on adjusting the landscape piece of it.
Yeah. So
and any other mock-ups that need to be done.
Exactly, because we're going to want to do something anyway.
If there's any change or stuff that has not been discussed here, you take the responsibility of following through.
Yep, I'd be happy to.
Tell us, basically. So we depend on you to that extent.
Yes.
So with that in mind, someone want to make a motion?
Well, you want to make it or you want me to make it?
I'll make a motion to accept as presented tonight.
I'll second it.
I'll third it, but with the exception that we throw it to Mr. Cornish.
Additional details.
Yeah, any additional details we worked out administratively.
As opposed, not necessarily to us, but to you, rather than just do it without asking.
Yes.
Because I'm usually the one that has to come to Joe. If there are things, it would be an administrative approval.
It wouldn't be
what we've done on the castle, miles, anything has to go through.
Right. So you're willing to do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, with that in mind, I say
all in favor?
All in favor, aye.
Yep.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This will be very exciting.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. You're keeping busy.
You know, 3 years
ago,
you've really
taken
a lot of pride in that street.
Yeah, we sure
look beautiful.
And I'll tell you, I mean, I have to take my hat off to the university. I mean, this is a major undertaking, just like Miles was, and that you guys want to do it at the level and caliber that you do it, I think is amazing, and it's a credit to the university and to the city, because the standards are so high, and it's a wonderful example for, you know, people to set for everybody else. So.
Is everyone aware that the Castle won the BPA award about the Preservation Alliance Award this
year? Did it? Oh my God, that's wonderful. The Castle won an award.
Oh.
For all your hard work, Victor, you won an award.
From the Preservation Alliance.
Did you walk the red carpet? Congratulations. That's great.
My only problem with the castle, I think it's a good job, but they cleaned it too much that right now it looks like a sandcastle as opposed to what I remember it as being a docker. And I can't believe it was that dirty that
it
would come down. Right now
was
it's like
that
sugar
dirty.
With, you know, something unbelievable.
There was, I can tell you that we were
you
all,
follow what I'm saying?
We were all floored.
How
light it was. But you know what's really interesting about that? We had had paint sampling done of the windows, so we knew what color to paint them. And we sat there and looked at those paint samples and said, this doesn't make any sense. Because the frame color was this light beige. And then we cleaned the stone and we said, oh my God, they're like a perfect match.
Yeah. Isn't that
That's
amazing?
Why the frames were that color.
Right.
Yeah. No, it was
so somebody
amazing.
Knew.
Somebody, way back
somebody
when they painted it, they painted it to match. Yeah. Well, yeah, because we did.
And it was
samples.
Chemical because we were talking about it, so it was not like sandblasting.
We didn't chemical even.
Really?
That was just a soft
brushing.
Detergent. Yes, BCA.
Really?
No, absolutely. It was,
that's what I was
incredible.
Blasting,
no
sandblasting.
No sandblasting and no chemical. It was just a soft wash.
Sandblast, but I didn't know.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks great.
So, on to the next project.
That's right.
Thanks, everybody.
There's always
welcome.
Another
project. Thank
you,
guys. Really presenting something so beautiful.
And
welcome.
Just be in touch with me if you need any other
okay.
Documents
yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah.
Like
thank you very much.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Post office. You retired on a Friday and went to work for you on Monday.
Shall we adjourn?
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. We can do adjourn, yes.